Can you say amen?
Amen.
Just pray that real quick. about me, just sing that the last song. The praise is yours, but just real quiet so we can pray.
Thank you. things. That's why you begin to sense God's presence when you begin to worship Him. Amen. The Bible says that God's presence or His anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. Like anything that would be holding on to us, it falls off. And that's why you walk out feeling freer and something changes. And you don't even understand it, but it's being in the presence of God. Amen. And so that this is how we do it. We come in, no matter how we feel, when we get here, we lay those things down and we just begin to worship God and magnify Him and think of who He is, look up to who He is, and that anointing just begins to flood the place. Amen. Good praise and worship. Well, won't you just turn and greet someone and say, good to see you in church. We want to give you a gift pack just right where you're sitting. Would you mind just waving your hand if you're here for the first time? Anyone here for the first time today? Everybody been here more than once? Ooh. You know what that means, right? You can invite some people who haven't been to our church before. Right, me included. Praise God. Well, thank you, Pastor Steve.
Praise God. Where's Sherry and Rick? There you are. Rick just stepped out. Sherry and Rick. Now, how did you hear about our church? Did someone invite you, or did you find us on your own?
No, Muff.
Muff the drummer. Hey, Muff, go. No, went to bed. Muff the drummer.
Yes.
Invited you. I guess you met him because sometimes he plays over to Double Rose, where you put on your jazz evening on Sunday nights.
Right.
There's a free ad code for you. So he invited you.
Yes, but the first time I heard about you was when you were on Center Street, and I actually told some neighbors about you, and I came to the church, but that's when you left. So I saw you on TV.
So you saw me on TV. Muff invited you. You saw the ad with Joel. Muff invited you. So the reason that I'm asking you is because Sherry and her husband Rick plays the piano, and you've been coming to the church now for how long would you say?
Been about 4 months.
Is that all?
No.
I think it may be, let's say six. Let's say six. But here's what's amazing. Just 6 months ago, you weren't sitting there. And now, I can't imagine our church without you. Amen. Now, here's what I'm saying. There are thousands of people like Sherry and Rick out there. They're supposed to be here. They're supposed to be part of our church. I mean, can you imagine Sherry and Rick not being part of the church?
No.
Well, there are thousands of Sherry and Ricks out there that are supposed to be here, part of our family. We just got to go get them. Thank you for your great
encouragement. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Sherry is one of our greeters. In fact, she leads the greeting team. She's doing a great job. She ends up there, you know, with a sign, "You look amazing today." And she invited, I think, these folks over here. Is that true? Who was walking by last week? Was it last week you were walking by? And she invited you? Then you came in. They're visiting from West Virginia. And they came in last week on vacation. You invited them, and they came into the church, and then they came back. I think they had it wrong this week. But what I'm trying to say is, it's a lot easier than what you think, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not that difficult. When you're excited, you love church, and you get a lot out of it, and it's easy to tell someone else. And just your enthusiasm—that's what really—that's what influences your enthusiasm. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to see you, Chris. We were at Chris's house on Wednesday night. Our Connect group went over to his house because Chris has had an injury. He's a contractor. In fact, Chris is the general contractor for our new church renovation. And just a couple of weeks before, you know, we got our zoning approval, he was doing some work on a roof, and he had a ladder on the roof, climbing up to the second floor. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So the ladder's on top of the roof.
Right.
And he's on the ladder, and he's going up to the next floor. And the ladder slipped. And he fell off the roof. And he broke his heel and his ankle and damaged his knee. And we went over to his group, and we prayed, and we believe in God for a supernatural, speedy recovery. So we missed you, Chris, and we're glad you're here, and just be praying and agreeing with Chris, because let me tell you, I feel like it was an attack of the enemy because of the key role Chris is going to be playing in our new building. So we need to lift him up in prayer and believe God for supernatural healing and recovery. Amen? Well, good. Well, I'm glad you're all here today. I'm excited to share God's word with you. Are you excited to receive God's word today? Did anyone bring a Bible with them to church today? If you got your Bible, hold it up, wave it around. Yeah. James, make sure we get the register go around everywhere, because you weren't here last week and we missed some people. And when that register comes by, there's a register coming by where you write your name. I just want to ask you, every week I send out a weekly text to tell you what's happening next Sunday. And if you do not receive that weekly text, please make a note of it. Just say, "I don't receive the weekly text," and we'll check into it and make sure that you do. Unless you don't want it. You say, "I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to receive the text." Well, we certainly don't want to do anything you don't want to do. But I don't want you to miss out, because I don't know about you, but Sherry said to me today, she said, "I like knowing what's going to be happening on Sunday, what the message is. I like it." And so if you don't get that text, just indicate on the register, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, let's just pray before we get into God's word this morning. Father, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as we've worshipped and praised you, that has brought your presence, that you inhabit our praise. And Lord, we thank you that as we go now to learn and study your word, Lord, we look to you. Thank you for giving us understanding. Thank you for giving us revelation. Lord, thank you for using me as your vessel today. I make it known that I'm not depending on myself. I'm trusting in you to enable me, to anoint me, to speak through me today. And Lord, I give you all the praise for everything said and for everything done. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning, I want to speak about humble yourself. Tell your neighbor, humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
1 Peter chapter 5, in verse number 5, it says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble." Humility brings favor. And then it says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and the Bible says He will lift you up, He will exalt you in due time. James 4 verse 10 says the same thing. James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. Now, we all have times where we know that we're supposed to do something, but it doesn't seem fair to forgive that person who did you wrong, to be kind to someone who's not treating you right, to volunteer at the hospital even though no one is saying thank you. Everything on the inside of you will say, I'm not forgiving them, it was their fault, they need to ask me for forgiveness, I'm not working on that small project, I'm not serving in the nursery, I'm more qualified than that. But let me tell you, if you are going to become everything God created you to be and reach your highest potential, you have to humble yourself and do things that you may not understand. Are you with me? We see this in the scriptures with Peter. Jesus used Peter's fishing boat to preach from while Peter was washing his nets because they'd been fishing all night. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And so, you know, Peter could have said, Lord, I love you. You're a great teacher, but you need to stick with your profession because I'm a professional fisherman and I have years of training. You know, he could have let his pride talk him out of it. I'm an expert. I know what I'm doing. We've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. But instead, look what Simon Peter said. Simon answered and he said, Master, we've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. You see, he was saying, it doesn't make sense to me, but I trust you. Yeah. You know what's best for me. So yeah. I'm going to take this step of faith. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to do what you say, even though it's not what I want to do.
Right.
You see, it says, when they'd done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boat, so they both began to sink. They filled both boats with so much fish, they began to sink. Now here's the key. His promotion was in his humility. See, when you swallow your pride, and you say, Lord, this may not make sense to me, but I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to be good to that person who did me wrong. I'm going to be my best at work, even though nobody is giving me credit for it. Let me tell you, when you humble yourself, you will see that great haul of fish, so to speak. Like Peter, your promotion, your healing, your breakthrough is in your humility. Do you know even Jesus humbled himself? Jesus humbled himself. The Bible says, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, he humbled himself and he became obedient. He humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, it doesn't say that Jesus was obedient because he was so strong-willed and he was so righteous that he always did the right thing and he always felt like doing the right thing. Can I surprise you? Jesus did not feel like going to the cross. Who would feel like that? Let me nail you with the nails on the cross. No one feels like that, but he humbled himself to do what God wanted him to do. Even Jesus had to humble himself. It takes humility to walk in obedience. Without humility, Jesus could have thought, listen, I'm the Son of God. I'm the creator of the world. I don't have to put up with these insults. I'm not going to go to the cross. But it was his humility that kept Jesus from retaliating to the people who did him wrong. It was his humility is why Jesus could hang on that cross and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. It was his humility that enabled him to do that.
Yes.
Now, if Jesus had to humble himself in order to be obedient, surely we too are going to have to humble ourselves if we are going to be obedient to what God is calling us to do.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Jesus humbled himself when he prayed. In Luke chapter 22, he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, if it's your will, take this cup away with me. In other words, what he was saying is, Lord, if there's any way that I can avoid going to the cross, if there's another way, Lord, please take it away. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, that's humbling yourself. Lord, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. Humility is surrendering to God's will. It's surrendering to God's ways. It's saying, Lord, you know better than me. You know what pride is? Pride is when you think you know better than God. You know how many people I talk to and say, well, I know the Bible says that, but I think this. I know the Bible says that, but I think this. Right there is pride. Anytime you think what you think you know better than God, that's pride.
Amen.
Humility is humbling and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It's recognizing God knows what's best for me. Humility is submitting to what God's word says, regardless of what you think about it. And there are times, family, God asks us to do things that seem hard. I mean, your flesh will rise up and tell you all the reasons why you should go, you know, why you should go put the boat away, why you shouldn't go back out fishing, why you should tell them off, why you shouldn't bite your tongue, why you shouldn't forgive. But this is when you have to do like Jesus and humble yourself so that you can be obedient. You'll never be able to obey God unless you're willing to humble yourself.
Amen.
Right. You've got to put your pride down and say, no, I'm not going to be offended because they left me out. I'm not going to be too proud to ask for forgiveness, to say I'm sorry, to admit that I was wrong. See, when we don't have humility, we think we're always right. We're stubborn. We're hard to get along with. Let me tell you, our relationships will be so much better if we will humble ourselves and let somebody else be right. Honor them by letting them have their way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see how much you enjoy this. I was listening to Joel Osteen on the radio. What is it? Sirius? He's got a Sirius channel.
Yeah.
What is it?
128.
There you go. And he was telling how that. A number of years ago, I guess when he was first married, that his wife Victoria, she asked him, when he came inside from being outside working out or playing basketball or whatever he was doing, she asked him, please don't wash your hands in the sink, in the kitchen, because that's where she prepares the food. She wanted him to go to the bathroom that was on the other side of the house. And so he thought, well, I don't feel like walking to the back of the house. It's my house too. Why should I have to walk to the back of the house? You know, it's amazing. Pride causes us to make lame excuses and be stubborn and only see things our way. And so one day, he said he went to wash his hands in the sink. And, you know, Victoria wasn't around. He thought, as long as she doesn't see me, I'm okay. And he went to wash his hands and he heard something down on the inside. And this voice said, when are you going to start honoring your wife by doing what she's asking? And he thought to himself, that couldn't be God. You know, it's never God when we don't like him. That can't be God. There may be things that you don't feel that are right, and you don't think you should have to do them. But let me tell you, one way that you can honor God is by honoring the people that are in your life. Well, I shouldn't have to walk to the back. I shouldn't have to clean up the mess they made. I shouldn't have to sit in this section where the ushers asked me to do. I shouldn't have to do that. Listen, God is saying, will you do it for me? Will you walk to the back for me?
Yeah.
Will you clean up the mess for me? Will you overlook that offense for me? Will you forgive for me? You see, you've got to do it unto God. When you honor God, he will always honor you.
Yeah.
Amen. How much better our relationships would be if we would start walking in humility. And let me tell you, this is something that all of us can improve.
Yeah.
Is there anyone sitting here today saying, well, I don't really need this message. Nobody wants to. Like Pastor Theo used to tell the story about the man in the church. He was voted the most humble man in the church. And they gave him a badge. The most humble man in the church. And the next Sunday, he wore the badge, they took it away. The word humble means, this is what it means, if you Google it. It means having or showing a modest or low estimation of your own importance. Humility is when you have a low or a modest estimation of your own importance. You know what pride is? When you have an inflated sense of your own importance. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says this: "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And the Passion Translation says about this: "God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your own importance." Philippians 2 verse 3 says, "Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourself." That got a lot of amens. Put others first and view others more important than yourself. Now, we love the verse, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Oh, yeah, we love that. But we don't love this so much. So put others, see them as more important than yourself. Amen? I heard about this couple. They argued for years. They argued over the best way to get out of their neighborhood, because there were two main ways to get out of their neighborhood. And the husband thought it was this way, and the wife said, "No, it's that way." And so practically every time they drove out, there was a point of contention. And this couple, they were great people, but pride began to tear their relationship apart. And one day, they heard a sermon like this, and they both made the decision they're going to put their pride away. They're going to stop arguing over petty things. They're going to start treating each other with respect. And you know that this message saved their relationship. I believe that other relationships could be saved if we would humble ourselves and honor God by honoring the other person.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Ephesians 5:21 says, "Honor Christ and put others first." When you put others first, you're honoring the Lord. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Romans 12 verse 10 says, "Honor one another above yourselves." Matthew 19:19 says, "Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." Honor others. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Let the wife see she honors her husband." 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says, "Husbands, give honor to your wife." 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." In fact, some translations say, "Honor the emperor." Do you know who the emperor was? That was Caesar. Do you know Caesar was a dictator? Do you know Caesar was not elected? There was no elections to elect for Caesar. He was a dictator. And the Bible says, "I must honor a dictator, an emperor who's throwing Christians in jail. I must honor him." You see, we honor our president. Not whether you voted him or not. I honor the man because he's the president. Or the woman because she's the president. The Bible says, honor the emperor, honor the king, honor your father, honor your mother, honor your wife, honor your husband, honor everybody. God tells us, honor mother, father, husband, wife, emperor, all people. Amen?
Yeah.
You see, the healing for your relationship is in your humility. It's when you humble yourself and you do your part to get along. Well, Steve, you know, when he starts treating me better, then I'll treat him better. But you've got to make the first move. Because your humility can stop the healing.
That's right.
When they see you taking the high road and not being stubborn, not being offended, not having to have your own way, that's when things will begin to change.
Amen.
The Bible says in Song of Solomon 2 verse 15, it says, "Catch the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine." Catch the little foxes that spoil the vine. Do you know often it's the little things that show dishonor? It's amazing how often spouse or husband and wife have contention over little things.
If Joel had kept washing his hands in the kitchen sink year after year after year, that disrespect would have grown. That dishonor would have become bigger. Before long, little things are tearing families apart. I'm asking you today to swallow your pride, start walking in humility. What can you do to get along better with people? What can you do to strengthen your relationship? Not what somebody else can do. You can't make them change, but if you'll change, if you'll start treating them with respect, doing what you can to honor them, being kind, serving them, let me tell you, those seeds that you are sowing, they will come back to you. Just like little foxes can spoil the vine, do you know little acts of kindness can make a big difference? When Victoria saw Joel going back to the back bathroom to wash his hands, she had to check the kitchen sink to make sure something wasn't wrong. And when she realized he was doing it just to honor her, just because she asked him to, their relationship went to a new level. He said she started cooking him much better TV dinners. Let me tell you, little things can make a big difference. Little acts of kindness help hold things together. How much better would our relationships be, family, if we put down our pride, not having to be right all the time, not keeping score? Well, you know, if you do this, then I'm going to do that, trying to one-up each other. Instead, what if we spent that same energy honoring one another, believing the best, overlooking offenses? Let me tell you, the healing is in your humility. Not in having your own way, not in getting even, not in holding a grudge. I heard about this man who had a disagreement with his father when he was young. He was in his 20s when he had this disagreement and turned into this big argument. He left the house, you know, very angry, and he didn't speak to his father for 30 years. He wouldn't have anything to do with his father for 30 years. And you know, this young man's life was a constant struggle. He couldn't get ahead. He never got any good breaks. He and his family lived in a small apartment. And one day, he learned through his sister that his father was in the hospital, and he knew that he had to make things right with his father. And so he put his pride down, and he got in the car, and he drove 4 hours to the hospital. And he went in to see his father for the first time in 30 years. And they both wept and wept and wept, and he said, "Dad, I'm sorry, it was my fault. Please forgive me." And he started honoring his father. And you know, not long after that, he received a promotion at work. He'd been trying to get that promotion for like 10 years, and he finally got that promotion. He didn't know how he was going to send his son to college, but his son unexpectedly received a full scholarship. And after years of living in that small apartment, they were able to purchase their first home. I mean, one thing after another thing began to fall into place. What am I saying? The promotion was in his humility, family, when he made the decision to humble himself, to forgive his father, to let go of the wrongs. That's when favor started to come upon his life.
Amen.
See, here's what the scripture says, Ephesians 6, verse 2. It says, "For the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached." What's the promise? You will prosper and live a long life, a long, full life, if you honor your parents. Are you with me? The New Living Bible says things will go well for you and you will live long on the earth if you will honor your father and your mother. See, pride often keeps us from rising higher. Even though his father was wrong, when you humble yourself, you can be the bigger person. You can forgive people. You can show mercy. You can start the healing. When you humble yourself, that's what gives you the power to become obedient. Amen? Amen. But as long as we allow pride in and we make excuses, "Oh, Pastor, that's not right. They hurt me. It was their fault." That all may be true. But holding on to it isn't going to make it any better. If you let go and move forward, God will make it up to you. You'll see God's favor in new ways in your life. There's so many scriptures that talk about the blessings of humility. Let me give you a few. Psalm 18:27, "To the humble you bring heaven's deliverance, but the proud and the haughty you disregard." When you humble yourself, the Bible says it brings heaven's deliverance.
Psalm 25, verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. In Psalm 138, verse 6, it says, though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to keep his distance from me. I want God to take care of me. I want God to guide me. I want God to favor me. How about you? Psalm 149, verse 4 says, for the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. In Proverbs 3, verse 34, he shows favor to the humble. And in Matthew 5, 5, Jesus said, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. There are blessings attached to humbling yourself. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a captain in the Syrian army. His name was Naaman. He was a very powerful, influential man. And he just helped the Syrians to defeat the Israelites. I mean, everything was going great, except he had leprosy. And he had captured a young lady from Israel and brought her back as his maid. And I imagine not everybody knew that he had leprosy. I mean, probably he'd keep his armor on, he'd try and hide it from people. But this young maid lived in his house. And when she saw how devastating the leprosy was, she was very concerned. And finally she got up her nerve. And the Bible says, she said in 2 Kings 5 verse 3, one day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Now she's talking about the prophet Elisha. Naaman could have thought, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm a captain. I answer to the king in my country. And now you, a slave, a teenager, a woman, you telling me to go back to the nation that I just defeated and ask them for help? I don't think so. Naaman could have been offended. He could have just dismissed it. But something down on the inside said to him, she knows what she's talking about. Naaman told the king of Syria what his maid said. And the king of Syria wrote a letter of introduction to the king of Israel on Naaman's behalf. So Naaman headed out toward Israel, the land that he just conquered. Think of the humility that it took to humble himself and to go and ask help of his enemy that he just conquered. He had to take advice from a maid and be willing to go to another country and admit that he needed help. I mean, if he'd been too proud, he would have stayed at home. And you know, sometimes, listen to me, sometimes your answer won't come from people that look just like you. People that come from your same culture. People that you're used to. You're going to have to do like Naaman. You have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. You have to be willing to listen to somebody, maybe like this maid, someone maybe that's under you. Are you with me? Someone that doesn't have the training, doesn't have the experience. The key is honor everybody, treat everybody with respect, value everybody's opinion. Because you never know who God's going to use to bring you that answer. God has brought me answers from people I never expected. If Naaman would have just dismissed his maid, he would have missed his miracle. Think about it. Don't judge the people God put in your life by the outside. By titles, by position, by wealth. Listen. God uses everybody. Naaman arrived in Israel. He had a huge entourage. He had horses and chariots. 750 pounds of silver. 150 pounds of gold. He handed the letter of introduction to the king of Israel. The king was upset. He said, am I God that you think I can heal you? Why are you asking me for help? Are you trying to pick a fight with me? Are you trying to pick a quarrel with me? I can't heal you. When the prophet Elisha heard about it, he said to the king of Israel, send him to me and he will know there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman travels to Elisha's house, quite a great distance, knocks on the door, and the assistant answers the door. And he says, I am Naaman. I'm here to see Elisha. I have a letter from the king of Syria. The assistant said, yeah, I know. He's busy. He sent me. Naaman was used to dealing with heads of nations. He would give advice to the king of Syria. I'm sure he thought, does Elisha know who I am? Does he realize how far that I've traveled? The assistant said to Naaman, Elisha told me to tell you, if you go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, you will be healed and your flesh will be restored completely. Now, you've got to look at all these times that Naaman put down his pride. A young maid told him what to do. Elisha was too busy to see him. Now he's going to go wash in a dirty river. These were all tests. Family, on the way to your miracle, there'll be plenty of opportunities to let pride talk you out of it. Because it may not happen the way that you think it's going to happen. To the people that you think. You've got to stay open. Don't put God in a box. Don't start writing people off because they don't look like you. Or they don't live in your neighborhood. Or they don't attend your church. Let me tell you, God likes to do unusual things. Naaman almost talked himself out of it. I mean, he'd done well up to this point. But when he was told to go wash in the Jordan River, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. He was like, no way, that's a dirty river. There's much better, cleaner rivers in Syria. Let's go back home. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 5, verse 12, so he turned and he went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Notice again, it was his servants who spoke up. Not a peer, not the prophet, not the king, but another underling, someone that he wouldn't normally listen to. So Naaman, listen, he humbles himself. He goes down to the Jordan. He dips, he washes himself one time, comes up, nothing happened. Twice, comes up, nothing happened. 3 times, still nothing. 4 times, still nothing. He looked at his skin, he thought to himself, if this was going to work, surely I'd be seeing some improvement by now. He was tempted to get discouraged, but he just kept on washing. I mean, imagine the humility. Washing in your enemy's dirty river again and again and again. Every voice said, Naaman, you look like a fool. You're wasting your time. 2 Kings 5:14 says, so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was totally healed, brand new skin. Now, what does that story show us? It shows us that his healing was in the humility. When you humble yourself and do what God is asking you to do, even when it doesn't make sense to you, you forgive that person that did you wrong. You're kind to that co-worker who betrayed you. You take advice from someone that's not in your normal circle. When you pass these tests and you humble yourself, let me tell you, things will begin to change. The Lord will begin to lift you up in honor. God will begin to show you favor and victory and blessing. The blessing is in the obedience. Let me tell you, the way to be obedient is to walk in humility. You'll never be able to walk in obedience unless you're willing to humble yourself. Because without humility, we make excuses. Well, I'm not going to listen to that maid. What does she know? I'm not going to do this simple thing, wash in a river, serve in the children's ministry, be a greeter at the door. I want to be on the platform. I'm sure I can do better than Pastor Steve. I mean, I'm sure I can do better than him. I don't know how come the setup team. I'm not getting up that early. Let someone else do it. No, when you do what God is asking you to do and you don't overanalyze it, you don't reason it out, you just do it, well, let me tell you, that's when things begin to happen. Someone said, well, Steve, I've been doing it for a long time, but nothing is changing. That means you right where Naaman was. The first 6 times, nothing happened. But that doesn't mean anything was wrong. You're right on schedule. The good news is you're about to come up from your 7th dip, where the healing suddenly comes. Where suddenly you promote it. Where suddenly you see that breakthrough. And we keep doing the right thing. You're close to your 7th time. And you never get close. You know, Joel Osteen's father was, his name was John Osteen. I used to watch him and I used to preach some of his sermons. Because he started the church, Lakewood Church. Joel's father, John, had been a denominational church. I think it was a Baptist church for many, many years. And he was very successful. He'd seen great growth. In fact, they just built a beautiful auditorium. This is going back in the 50s. But in 1959, before I was even born, he felt something stirring inside him. And he knew that he was supposed to leave that denominational church and launch out and start his own interdenominational church, which would be Lakewood Church. But the only building they could find was an abandoned feed store. And he could have thought, God, you had me leave my prestigious church that seats 1,000 people to come down to this old feed store. I have thousands of members. Now I've got 90 members. It doesn't make any sense to me. But how many of you know God's ways are not our ways? You see, John Osteen had to put his pride down. For 13 years, Lakewood Church hardly grew. It had less than 200 members after 13 years, a fraction of what he'd had before when he was a denominational pastor. And friends would stop by and tell him, John, what are you still doing pastoring that little church? What are you still doing? But John never got discouraged. He just kept on being his best. He kept on serving those 90 people, kept doing what God had put down in his heart. You see, 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. When you humble yourself, there's a due time that God has established where he's going to catapult you ahead. When you humble yourself, there's a due time, family. When you come up from your seventh dip, it's your due time. And all the forces of darkness cannot stand against you. When God is ready to exalt you, let me tell you, you will be exalted. When God is ready to lift you up, he will lift you up. And in 1972, 13 years after John Osteen started Lakewood Church, he came into his due time. It was like somebody opened the faucet. And people started coming from all over the city, from the east, the west, the north, and the south. Lakewood grew to a church of thousands. Of course, today is, I think, the largest single congregation in the United States. But if John Osteen was here, let me tell you, he would tell you that the promotion was in his humility. He had to be willing to do things that didn't make sense to him. To pastor 90 people for years when he'd been pastoring thousands. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to get you to the next level. Can you say amen? Like Naaman, God knows how to cure the leprosy. But it may not be the way you thought it was going to happen. It may not happen with the people you thought it was going to happen. Or on the timetable you thought. But if you keep walking in humility, keep being obedient, like John Osteen, you will come into your due time where God does more than what you can ask or think. Are you still here this morning?
Yes.
I think about the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The young man left home. The Bible says he wasted his inheritance, living wild, partying, making bad choices. Finally, he ran out of money. He ended up working in a pig pen, feeding pigs. And there was a famine in the land, and he ended up eating the pig food, the food the pigs eat to survive. And he was miserable, depressed, dirty. It was nobody's fault except his own. And one day he was sitting in the pig pen and he thought to himself, the servants in my father's house, they live better, they eat better than I do. I should go back home. Something on the inside came alive. He had a spark of hope. He was excited. But then he thought, what am I talking about? I can't go back and let people see me like this. I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to have to admit that I made a mistake, that I blew my inheritance.
Yeah.
See, then what is that? That's pride.
Yeah.
Pride grows up. Try to keep him from going back home. But the scripture says this in Luke 15, verse 17. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. He came to the point where he humbled himself. He was willing to admit his mistake. Put down his pride. And he headed home. But his father was watching for him. I love the fact that the father was out there watching. Because he saw his son coming from a long way off. And he came running towards him.
His father gave him a big hug, kissed him on the cheek. He told his servants, put the best robe on him, put a ring on his hand, kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and be merry. My son has come back home. We're going to celebrate. Let me ask you, are you letting pride keep you out of the Father's house? Worried about what people will think? Worried about your image? Can I tell you, we've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. We've all gotten off course. Don't let pride hold you back. I've always loved something that I heard in Bible college, and that is if you miss it, if you blow it, and if you make a mistake, don't run from God. Run to Him. You see, the new beginning is in your humility. When you do like this young prodigal, this young man, and say, Lord, I admit I've done wrong. I'm not where I should be, but I'm ready to come home. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Let me tell you, God will receive you with open arms. That's the first step to getting out of the pig pen. You don't have to be perfect. God isn't looking at your performance. God is looking at your heart. Well, Steve, I don't have it all together. Let me tell you, none of us have it all together. Amen? But it's in our weakness that God's power shows up the greatest. When you come to God with humility and you ask God for help, He will not only receive you, but like He did for the prodigal son, He'll put a ring on your finger. That signifies your authority. He'll give you a royal robe of righteousness. That signifies your favor. He'll say, let's have a party. He'll celebrate you. And He'll take you further than you ever imagined. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you, the new beginning, the promotion, the healing, the breakthrough, the victory is in your humility. I'm asking you to put your pride down, humble yourself, and start doing what God is asking you to do. Maybe He's asking you to forgive someone. Maybe He's asking you to treat someone better. Maybe He's asking you to take a step that seems like you're going backwards. Don't talk yourself out of it. It may not seem fair and you may not understand it. But if you'll put your pride down and do it anyway, let me tell you, you are setting yourself up for a new time. And I believe, family, and I declare over you that because you're humbling yourself, God is about to exalt you. God is about to lift you up. Like Naaman, you're going to come out of your seventh dip where suddenly the healing comes, the promotion comes, the vindication comes, the freedom comes, the abundance comes, the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. If you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will lift you up in due time. If you receive it, give the Lord a hand of praise. Extra in here. It's so amazing. After I finished this sermon, I finished my sermon. I sent the notes through, and then after that, I saw this article by Billy Graham, and I thought, man, it's so powerful. I want to quickly give this. It's 12 ways to humble yourself before God. I want to read the 12 ways to you real quick, okay? This is Billy Graham, article 12 ways to humble yourself. I love this. Number one, routinely confess your sin to God. When you miss it, say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that, forgive me. That's humbling yourself. Acknowledge your sin to others. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another. Take wrong patiently. That's number three. That's humbling yourself. Actively submit to authority, the good and the bad. That's humbling yourself. Receive correction and feedback from others graciously. That's humbling yourself. Accept a lowly place. Purposely associate with people of lower estate than you. Choose to serve others. Jesus humbled Himself and served. Be quick to forgive. That's humbling yourself. Cultivate a grateful heart. Be thankful and grateful always for what the Lord has done. Purpose to speak well of others. And treat pride as a condition that always necessitates embracing the cross. It's our nature to be proud, and it's God's nature in us that brings humility. Committing to a lifestyle of daily dying to ourselves and living through Him is the foundation for true humility. I thought that was a great sermon. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this today? You say this. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I humble myself before you today. Not my will. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Say, Lord, I humble myself before you because I admit that I need you. I'm depending on you. I'm trusting in you. Lord, I trust that your way is better than mine. I trust, Lord, that your word is better than mine. If your word tells me to forgive, then even though I don't think I should, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to forgive like you've told me to do. In the name of Jesus. Then they say, Lord, I humble myself before you today. I ask you to forgive me for any pride that I've allowed in my life. And I reject and resist all pride. And I choose to walk in humility, to show honor, to treat others and think of others as more important than myself. In the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, a little while ago, I put a post on Facebook, and I didn't mean anything by it. It was really a joke. It was a joke. It was something that I'd seen, and I reposted it. And someone in our church commented on it, and they were disappointed by this post. And so I said, well, listen, let's have breakfast together. And we sat down and we had breakfast. And I said, tell me, I want your perspective. Why is this offensive to you? And I listened to I removed the post from Facebook, and then I listened to his perspective, and I've got another perspective. Let me tell you, family, if I had said, well, you're wrong, and I'm right, and you know what you're talking about, you know, that could have destroyed that relationship. But when you sit down and you humble yourself and say, now, listen, tell me, how do you see it? And view their opinion as more important than your opinion. Well, how much unity we have in America right now? We've got such division because everyone thinks they're right. And it's amazing how people speak so I'm talking on social media. They speak so disrespectfully and say the most mean things about people just because they don't agree with them.
That's right.
Listen, we can agree to disagree and still be friends.
That's right.
We don't have to agree on everything, but we can still honor and walk in humility and not walk in pride. But let me tell you, God is near to the humble. God lifts up the humble. But the Bible says he keeps his distance from the proud. The Bible says pride is an abomination. Let's not allow pride. Let's stay humble with the world. What do you say?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Let me tell you, you may not realize it, but you needed this message more than what you think.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we all need to hear this
right.
On a regular basis. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Now listen, I want to just tell you, Pastor Jill's going to come forward. We're going to have a time where we receive the offering. Do you know that giving is humbling yourself before God? I said, do you know that when you give to God, you are humbling yourself? You know why? Because you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm grateful for everything you've done in my life. I'm grateful for everything I have. That's humility. I'm giving because I'm trusting you to supply. And also, you said I should give. You said I should tithe. Do you know that when you tithe, because God said you should, that's humbling yourself?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Do you know when you come and you worship the Lord, and we sing and we lift the hands and worship God, do you know that's humbling yourself? Do you know when you get down and pray, you're humbling yourself? Do you know you forgive someone who wronged you, you're humbling yourself? Because you're putting yourself down and you're lifting God up. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, when Pastor Jill's finished with the offering, I have a video that I want to show you. I'm keeping it right to the end. Because I'm going to cut the internet feed. This isn't going to go out on the internet. Just for you all that's here. I did a video about a new building. And I did a walkthrough, and I want you to see it. And I'm going to show it right at the end before we close service today. So don't leave. I don't want you to miss that. Amen?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today.
I'm glad you're here.
You sure needed to hear this message.
You sure needed to hear it. on the seats right where you're sitting. You know the various ways to give. But I want to just read a couple of scriptures. Psalm 115, verse 12, it says, "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more." Do you know that God wants to increase you? How many of you have kids and you want to see them get ahead? Well, God feels the same way about you. He wants to bless you and your children. He wants to bless your family. He wants to increase you. That's a great truth to know, right?
Yeah.
And Isaiah 48, verse 7, you know, we have to follow God's way, just like Pastor Steve's saying. We've got to humble ourselves and say, "God, what is your way?" Isaiah 48, 17, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way we should go." So God wants to teach us how to profit. The Bible says he wants us to increase. Therefore, he wants to show us ways that will profit our life, that will benefit us, that will increase us. He wants to teach us. And if he's going to teach us, another way you could say that, he wants to instruct us. He wants to train us or prod us in a direction to go so that we go in the way of increase and profit, right? And so we've got to be teachable. And, you know, many times people want God, you know, they kind of want someone to wave a wand, a magic wand over their life and say, everything's going to be okay. You know, your finances will be okay. God's going to provide for you. But God wants to teach us how to profit. And we've got to humble ourselves and be like Peter, like Pastor Steve said. He said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I think it should be a different way, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll do what you say, and then we'll see the increase." Isn't it right? Because I know when it comes to tithing, there's a lot of things we could say. You know, people may sit and maybe somebody's struggling financially and they say, "Well, you know, I know the Bible says I should tithe, but I don't earn that much." I'm sure there are people in the church who earn more, who could give more, and God understands that if I tithe, so we talk ourselves out of it. And like Pastor Steve said, that is pride. Because you're really saying, "God, I know you said that, but I think differently." Little dangerous position to get in. And then you have other people that maybe earn a lot of money. And they look at it and they go, well, I know you said tithe, but I don't really think that you really mean I should give 10% because 10% is a lot of money. And the church, I don't know if they know what to do with that money. So, you know, there's pride once again. And so the Bible says that we should humble ourselves and we should let God teach us how to increase. Teach us how to profit. Not just wanting to magically make everything right, but rather do it his way. Let's do it God's way. Amen. One more verse, Matthew 6:33 from the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, "But seek, amen, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right." So we want to have God, what is your way of doing the right thing, right? And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. And the things he's talking about that would be added to us are the things, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The physical, material things in life. When we go God's way of doing things, that's when those things become not a problem at all, right? Because God can add them to us. And so this morning, family, as we prepare to give, we do it because we follow what God has said. Amen. We thank you for your faithfulness to give and to tithe into the church. Everything we do is because of the giving, by the giving of God's faithful people. And we trust God for big things. We trust God for new buildings and finances and renovations. And you are the channels through which he works. So God's got to increase you. And so you've got to say, "Lord, you want to increase me? Increase me. I'll be faithful to do what you tell me to do." Amen. Praise God. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person giving, to those that are watching online and that go ahead and give. Father, we come to honor you, to humble ourselves. Father, maybe there are some that are sitting in this room today and they say, you know, as I give this tithe, as I give this offering, I don't quite know how I'm going to make it through this week. But Father, we put our trust in you. We thank you that your word is true, that if you said it, you will do it. And we may not see a way, but you always have a way. Thank you that you are our provider, not our job, not our spouse, not our parents. You are our source. So today we look to you, we trust you that everything we need, we have every need met and every bill paid in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, in a moment, the ushers are going to pass the bags by and receive the offering. Pastor Steve.
We're right ahead of the video. Thank you, Miguel. Ushers, yeah, I can give him a moment. Give him a moment. People are still writing out. It takes a while to write the word thousand. We don't have any sound on the video.
We'll work out.
Did we test this out?
Yeah, you tested it out.
We did. We have Prophet Ed Trout is going to be with us on February the 11th. That's 2 weeks. 2 weeks time. Let's get the sound on this because I need it for my video for sure. What's happening? Sound on. They tested this out earlier, didn't they? And we had sound on it? After service today, while they get the sound on. After service today, you probably received a text from me. We have our monthly lunch club. We'd love you to join us. We're having lunch after the service at the Thai Lotus restaurant. That's right across the street in the center where the movies are. It's a Japanese Asian restaurant. And our Thai restaurant is really good. We hope everyone's welcome to join us. It's very reasonably priced. I think last time I went, my meal was like $10. It was really good, or $8. So if you want to join us, you're welcome to join us at the Thai Lotus Blossom right across the street after the service. And we want to thank all of our volunteers today who served. We've got time. Thank you to our setup team. Thank you to our setup team. Thank you to our ushers, our children's workers, our breakdown team, everyone who served, musicians, everyone. Thank you so much for serving. How are we doing there? Are we ready? Do we have sound? Forget the intro. Do the video that I have. Just cut off the internet and the Facebook, please. Thank you for watching us. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. We're all sitting here waiting what's happening. No pressure. I know. No, we can hear nothing. There's nothing coming out yet. I have to show them the video on my phone or something.
It's making us humble.
Yeah, humility. Humble yourself.
Let's pray for the sound to come back.
Yes.
Do you have any idea why we don't have any sound in this video? Does anyone know who Prophet Ephraim is?